Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring
Pat Boyle
and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And a happy Monday morning to you, everybody. DA here on CBS Sports Radio, and you can always check us out in podcast form. The full 4 hours of the best of the show, available everywhere that you get your podcasts. Coming your way in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, the Colorado Buffaloes continue to own the college football landscape. Just in talking about the Alabama loss on Saturday, look, there's been a few teams, a few schools that are just known for gagging in big spots. And the Texas Longhorns have been one of those. The Texas is back slogan has become a joke. Every time they win a big game, sarcastically, social media is aflame with Texas is back, knowing that they'll lose a big game and then it'll be used against them. Texas is back. So who knows if this is the start of Texas actually being back, and that Quinn Ewers and Sark and this loaded roster going into the SEC next year is actually going to rise to the occasion and live up to their expectations and their talent level and their history? We don't know. This could be just another Texas moment where, quote, Texas is back for 4 weeks before they lose to Iowa State or something. The flip side, though, is much more notable, and that is Alabama, because Alabama doesn't lose that game. They don't lose it like that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first time in Nick Saban's tenure at Alabama they had lost a home game by double digits. They don't lose that game. They don't lose a game where a squad that has its own question marks, comes into Tuscaloosa, punches them, and they can't respond. It hasn't happened in many, many moons. And what we saw after a decade or so of really elite quarterbacking at Alabama, and we saw three of them on the same roster, they flashed that picture up there, Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Mac Jones, was Jalen Milroe is not in that conversation. He's struggling. And he got just hounded on Saturday and just made bad reads, made bad mistakes, made bad throws. He's a good kid, but he is not at that level. And what is so interesting is that Alabama used to be built so that the quarterback didn't have to win the game. You could hide the quarterback by running the football really well, big offensive line, move guys out of the trenches, and pound you with their defense. Saban's D has always been really the signature. And how many championships did they win just by ground and pounding you out of the way? Well, now they've adjusted and evolved to
explosive quarterbacking, big wide receivers, NFL stock wideouts every single year. They've opened themselves up. But it left them vulnerable against Texas the other night because they wanted to throw and they couldn't, and their normally stout defense got ripped apart by Ewers and company. So they don't lose that game. They don't lose that game. Not like that, they don't. And that was a wow. Alabama's different. And now this is the second year in a row that Alabama feels different. Is it permanent? I'm not sure. I don't want to disrespect Saban that way. But for this right now, they are not Alabama. Not the one we know. That's not one that can compete for a national championship the way that they got hammered on Saturday. Let's talk about this Niners and Steelers game yesterday, okay? I am of the opinion the Steelers are a good football team. I am of the opinion that the Steelers will have better days, many more good days than bad days this year. And I am of the opinion that the Steelers will compete for a playoff slot this season. They didn't look like it yesterday. They didn't look like it at all yesterday. And the 49ers just laid a beat down in Pittsburgh.
Purdy out of the shotgun, looks right the whole way and throws for Ayuk. Well covered. Caught by Brandon Ayuk anyway. Touchdown! San Francisco! Ayuk! Ayuk! Ayuk is really on fire! What a catch!
Purdy shut some haters up. So it's nice to be on a really good team. I think whenever a guy comes back from an injury and people kind of give him, they don't expect him to make another leap in the second year. I'm just happy for him. He's exactly who we thought he was.
Stretch run coming left to McCaffrey. Stays play side, breaks a tackle, 45. Blocked from Ayuk down the sideline, 30. Cuts back inside, 20. Still inbounds down the sideline. Diving for the end zone. Touchdown! CMC!
Papa on 49ers Radio. And that was Nick Bosa after the win. It's interesting. Because if you just took the quote of Nick Bosa, talking about a player making a jump the second year, he could have been talking about Kenny Pickett, which is what a lot of people thought, including myself. Pickett will take a step forward, really good defense, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, they've got good wide receivers, well-coached team, that's a good Steelers squad, and that we should see a really good effort at home in Pittsburgh in the opener. He's talking about is Brock Purdy, I assume, about Purdy coming off the injury in the offseason, injured in the NFC Championship game, and a lot of us, specifically myself, wondering whether Purdy can pick up where he left off or whether that was just kind of like a little magic pixie dust last season, and then now suddenly teams have a full year to operate on his game planning, on his film, and kind of easily thwarted. Because, I mean, look, the guy's still a relatively inexperienced seventh-round NFL draft quarterback. And yesterday, the freaking 49ers were a machine. A machine!
You are a machine of death.
They just were a steamroller. And the Steelers couldn't get out of the way fast enough. And every part of the 49ers, what they do well, they brought. Brandon Ayuk, big plays, Christian McCaffrey, big plays, the defense, pass rush was excellent, not a lot of easy yards or plays out there for the Steelers. They made Kenny Pickett look completely impotent. They did everything that the Niners do well. They brought in a bag to Pittsburgh. They dropped the hammer, got back on their flight, and went back to San Francisco. It's a hell of a good 49ers team. It's a hell of a good 49ers team, and they're going to be like this all season long. And I think that the 49ers, they're betting on Brock Purdy. And the Trey Lance thing obviously blew up in their face, but you have to imagine part of the reason they cut bait with Lance already is that they're that confident with Brock Purdy. And yesterday you could see why. You know, I couldn't sit here today and tell you that Brock Purdy's going to have a 12-year NFL career and be a Pro Bowl quarterback every single season. But he looked damn good. He picked up where he left off yesterday. And the fact that he's doing this after injury is pretty amazing, considering, remember, when he goes down to the NFC Championship game, we're thinking, does he miss all of next season? At least some of next season, half of next season. I mean, most people at that moment, if you would have even pulled the most optimistic Niners fans, had to feel like, man, we're going to have to start the season without Brock Purdy next year. This is week one, and he just went to Pittsburgh and dissected a pretty good Steelers defense. Again, I still think the Steelers are an 8 or 9 win team. Maybe you catch a break here. You're a 10-7 squad, make the playoffs, something like that. But they just got dismantled yesterday. And I think that has, I think it has more to do about the 49ers. I don't think it's a bad Steelers team. I think it's a really good 49ers team. And, you know, it's, again, it's week one. It's, we all are paid in this industry to make some big, bold statements and analysis, and you want to come in on a Monday morning and say, this was the best, this was the worst, this team's going to win the Super Bowl, this team can't. And it really doesn't work that way in the NFL. You know, you have to fill this airtime, you have to analyze, you have to be interesting, but there's no way today is the end-all, be-all for a team November 1st. We'll barely remember these games. But there just are some tendencies that you can see carry over year to year, and the 49ers are freaking good. And they're going to be really difficult. And the Eagles really struggled yesterday to put away the Patriots also on the road. And I think the Patriots and the Steelers are kind of the same ilk. I think the Steelers are actually a little better than the Patriots. I think the Steelers will be in the playoff hunt. I don't think the Patriots will be. But both teams, the two best NFC teams, went on the road yesterday out of conference, so they were, you know, not all that familiar with one another. And the Eagles messed around and needed a fourth down incompletion, 2 feet not in, to survive the Patriots. And the Steelers put that game away in the first quarter. I'm sorry, the Niners put that game away in the first quarter. Again, is this an indicator of how the NFC Championship game will go? No. Does this mean the Steelers are head and shoulders above the Eagles? No. But it is, I think, it's something to note that the 49ers dispatched a pretty good Steelers team that quickly, that easily on both sides of the football. And if Brock Purdy is legit, not that he's the new Tom Brady to win 7 Super Bowls, but if he's a last pick of the draft, you know, Brady was number 199, and is your solution at starting quarterback that helps you win for 8 to 10 years, that's an amazing kind of stroke of luck. An amazing stroke of luck. And, you know, if Kyle Shanahan wins with freaking Brock Purdy and not Trey Lance, it's like, okay, really, who cares? I mean, you gave up the draft picks. You shouldn't have done that if you can't get what you need out of the quarterback. But if your solution is, but I can cook up wizardry around Brock Purdy, you got to give him credit for that as well. It's crazy, but the 49ers looked amazing yesterday. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Chance is in Alabama this morning here on the dot. Chance, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think you should doubt Nick Saban too much. I mean, he's still the GOAT. He's still the greatest of all time college coach. You know, he's still the GOAT. I mean, you can't sleep on the GOAT. It's a non-conference game. It means nothing. You know, they can still go beat Texas A&M. They can still go beat Missouri, whoever else is on the schedule. I don't have the schedule pulled up in front of me right now.
It means something because it is a barometer of where you are against really good teams. And Texas is ranked number 11. So if you, at your own building, are going to lose by double digits to the number 11 team of the country, it does say something.
Okay, well, even if he still loses this year and, you know, they're a bad team this year, he's still the GOAT. He's still going to retire as the GOAT. I mean,
well, Chance,
no one's ever going to touch.
But Chance.
No one's ever going to touch Nick Saban.
But
no one's ever going to touch him.
No part of my argument, no part of my monologue about that was that Nick Saban's not the greatest or one of the greats. I'm talking about
this. He is the greatest. He's the greatest.
Okay,
he
won. Let me guess. You weren't around to watch Bear Bryant, right?
He has more championships than the Bear.
Did you watch Bear Bryant? No, the answer
is
no.
Yes, I watched Bear Bryant. Okay. My father watched Bear Bryant.
Your dad did. Your dad did, but you didn't, because my guess is you weren't watching football as an adult back in the 70s.
He has more championships than the Bear.
Well, that doesn't always equate to the greatest.
Yes, it does.
Well, okay.
It's all about the rings, baby.
Okay, so then you would say that Robert Horry is a greater player than Charles Barkley.
No, I would not say that, but this isn't basketball. This is football.
Okay,
this is coaching.
Okay, got it. So, let's see. Is Jeff Hostetler better than Dan Marino?
No.
Okay, but that's just a ring debate then. So you can't just say that's the only way you decide.
Well, is Jim Kelly better than Dan Marino? Jim Kelly went to 4 straight Super Bowls. He didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. They're both at
that.
Zero.
You can do that all day.
Well, yeah, that's why you can't use the rings.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's why you can't just use rings or championships as the only marker. Look, either way, we're getting off track. This is not about where Nick Saban ranks all time. This is about this year's Alabama team, and this year's Alabama team is not a great football team.
I agree. So we take a year off. We go to sleep. We take a year off. No problem. We take a year off. We'll go recruit, and we'll get better.
Okay.
Not a big deal.
All right, hey, not a big deal, but I'd like to hear the rest of your fellow fans feel that way after a 9-3 or something. I don't think everyone's going to be like, hey, no big deal if they lose 4 games this year.
I mean, I'll be okay with it. But okay. I want to talk about Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers staying in a Hobbit house. I was just watching SportsCenter. I know I can't say that because this is CBS.
No, you can say it. We've got SportsCenter up right now.
Okay. So I just listened to Aaron Rodgers say he was in a Hobbit house smoking some, I don't know what he was smoking. But
what does that mean? What's a Hobbit house?
I don't know. The Lord of the Rings hasn't been out since 2003.
Yeah, I don't know what a Hobbit house is.
I mean, neither do I.
Okay.
So we're in the same league there, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just saying tonight it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be the Bills by probably 10, maybe 14. I'm sorry, Jets Nation, you suck. It's going to be the Bills. I mean, you're terrible.
Okay. Only because Aaron Rodgers smoked
ayahuasca
in a Hobbit house.
Yes. What is a Hobbit house?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's getting paid to talk sports, not me.
I know, but I don't think a Hobbit house qualifies as sports.
but Aaron Rodgers is like, what, won 4 MVPs? He's a Super Bowl champion? That's your job, not mine. I don't know what a Hobbit house is either. I mean, my God, what is a Hobbit house?
Maybe it's when he went into the darkness cave.
I mean, I love Lord of the Rings just like anyone else. I mean, it's probably the greatest franchise of all time next to The Equalizer. I mean, it's a great, great, great film.
Wow, would say The Equalizer is one of the greatest franchises of all time?
Oh, and Denzel Washington? Are you kidding me?
Okay, all right,
I mean, it's Denzel.
Yeah, no, I love Denzel too, but one of the greatest franchises ever?
Okay. I take that back. It's not The Godfather, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. All right. So did you hear them specifically say the Hobbit house, or are you just saying that yourself?
Please Google it. Please YouTube it. Whatever you got to do. He said Hobbit house. He said, I was in a Hobbit house for 3 days. He said he was smoking whatever he's smoking. I don't know what he's smoking, but he was smoking something, and he said, I'm going to the Jets. Google it.
Just Google it.
I will Google that. I'll see if I can figure out what a Hobbit house is. But I think he went to the darkness retreat.
Oh, darkness retreat. But he did call it a Hobbit house. You got to quote me on that. He said a Hobbit house. I swear on my life, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
I think, though, that he smoked or did ayahuasca not in the Hobbit house. I think that was a different trip. I think that's to the jungles when he did that.
Must be nice to be rich.
Yeah, you find a lot of creative ways to get high.
Yeah. True that. Thank you for taking the call.
You got this a chance. Okay, buddy. Is that true that Rodgers actually called it a Hobbit house?
Yes. I actually heard, I think it was with John McEnroe, of all people, that John McEnroe did a tennis football cross interview to promote the U.S. Open and to promote the Monday Night Football game. And I think he asked Rodgers about it, and he goes, yeah, you know, I stay in a Hobbit house.
And I guess that's the darkness retreat.
Yes, that's what he's talking about. But I'm like 99.9% sure I had heard that yesterday, and Rodgers himself referred to it as a Hobbit house. That was at like 12 p.m. I think I saw that interview. I was like deep in the lab getting my bets together.
Interesting. But that's a part. That's aside from when he did ayahuasca.
I don't know. He might have done ayahuasca there as well.
I don't think you can do that in a darkness retreat. That would drive you batty.
Well, he's an experienced shroomer now.
That's true.
He's a vet.
He could have done shrooming, but that's different than ayahuasca.
Isn't ayahuasca like the shroom? Isn't it like a shroom acid kind of combo?
Well, it's like a vine.
A vine?
I believe it's a vine.
But it has similar side effects. You get a similar trip as if you do mushrooms, I think, right?
Well, you should definitely look this up and we can clarify this. But this darkness retreat was supposed to be total silence, total darkness, alone with your own thoughts in a very sane manner to like process a lot of stuff. I don't think it's for visions like an ayahuasca is supposed to be.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get context. We'll see if he did it, if he admitted to doing it on the darkness retreat. But how about Chance in Alabama? Yeah, we'll go to sleep. We'll recruit. Guy's been looking forward to this season all year long. Yeah. It's week three. He's on to next year.
That's right. One and one, and he's already on to 2024. We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be back next year. All right, what about the last 2 years? Georgia has taken the throne from you.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of Alabama fans that are far more annoyed by what happened or worried about what happened on Saturday than Chance in Alabama. When we come back on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Please Google it. Please YouTube it. Whatever you got to do. He said Hobbit House. He said I was in a Hobbit House for 3 days. He said he was smoking whatever he's smoking. I don't know what he's smoking.
Dylan tweets in, don't ever take that weenie's call again. Yeti confetti. This Hobbit House guy should have been sent packing. Awful caller. But cigar smoking dude says, I drank bourbon and smoked cigars in a Hobbit House once. I'm all jacked up now. Hobbit House. Hobbit House Aaron Rodgers tonight against the Bills on Monday Night Football. Welcome back, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide, as well as SiriusXM Channel 158. We do have a connection on Mraz after last night's 40-0 drubbing by the Cowboys over the Giants. We have a wellness check coming up with Mraz at 40 minutes past the hour.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
So much spin.
26-0 at the half, and he was texting us, they are going to come back to win this game. We'll be talking about the Cowboys choke in the morning. Just slightly off.
A little bit. And then it becomes, it's only week one. Weird things happen in week one. You don't know football if you think this makes the Cowboys.
Ooh, good one.
However, if you say that, doesn't that mean the Giants aren't that good? Because beating them is not that big of a deal, so don't get carried away with the Cowboys?
Well, you're right about where we're going to go mental gymnastics here. If the Giants had won 40-0,
oh my goodness,
they're definitely going to the Super Bowl.
We wouldn't have played the other 16 games.
Remember last year when Bob the Deli Man thought the Giants were going to go undefeated?
We went out.
Or 16-1.
Yeah.
They're going to win out.
Still possible.
Now the Giants have lost 40-0, and I guarantee you it doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Doesn't mean a damn thing. But we'll get a wellness check on Mraz coming up here in just a few moments. John in PA says, Chance in Alabama, Hobbit House guy, is like my fellow Steelers fans yelling about 6 Lombardis after yesterday. Cognitive dissonance, but that's what you need sometimes. Why even draft a round 1 QB? Might as well just wait until round 6 and see what happens. Nothing matters, DA. The Steelers thing is interesting because you cannot ignore the fact that they're never terrible. I mean, they haven't really been terrible since the 60s. So that's an amazing run of consistency. They always are in the playoff hunt. They make the playoffs. They win the division. They have consistency. They have continuity. You know, so you just, if you're a fan and you're like, we'll be fine, in some ways, if you're a Steeler fan, you are fine. Except I was just thinking to myself yesterday, wow, it's been 13 years since they made a Super Bowl. Their last Super Bowl was 2010. So it's been a long time since they even made the Super Bowl. I think, you know, for the Brock Purdy questions, it's why you definitely should draft a QB every single year, even if it's in the 5th, 6th, or 7th round, just to see what you might have. I mean, you can't assume the Niners thought they had their franchise guy in Brock Purdy when they took him as Mr. Irrelevant. But if you just have a guy in your roster that might get it, it's kind of like what the Packers used to do with Mike Holmgren. They just drafted a quarterback every single year and ultimately came up with a bunch of good backups that they traded away for more picks because Brett Favre never got injured. But yeah, I mean, there are late-round QBs out there that are doing pretty well. Now, depends on what you think about Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, but I mean, Wilson has been a pretty elite quarterback up until the last 2 years, and Dak Prescott is on a team that some people think can go to a Super Bowl, and those were 3rd and 4th round guys. It's a little bit less crazy than Brock Purdy, who's a 7th round guy. Also, did you see the Matt Corral story? Corral? What am I saying this right?
Corral.
Matt Corral?
Yeah.
Like the OK Corral?
I'm saying it like Steve Corral.
Yeah.
Matt Corral left the Patriots and is nowhere to be found. He was a 3rd-round pick of the Panthers, I think 2 years ago. Cut by the Panthers, went to the Patriots. He just left. He left camp. And they don't have a beat on him, I don't think. So, crazy story, but yeah, Corral is just, he's gone.
And that was after they were preparing to try to circumvent the new 3rd quarterback rules.
Yeah.
And the NFL had to step in and tell everybody how that actually is going to work. Like, who needs to be on the 53-man roster, not the practice squad. But I totally missed that. I didn't know that. He's just gone.
He left Friday or Saturday, and as of yesterday, they didn't know where he was.
Like, he just went AWOL.
Yeah.
Does anybody know where he is?
I haven't seen an update yet on it, but that was just what happened over the weekend. So, you know, quarterbacks could go one of two ways, obviously. That's pretty dramatic. All right, standing by with our headlines, here is Mr. Andrew Bogish.
DA, imagine what was going on doorbell cameras in the tri-state area last night. A year ago, it was pirate-tinged glee. Last night, not so much.
2nd down, I formation, Pollard handoff, walk the dog. Everything sealed off to the inside. Tony Pollard walked the dog and scored his 2nd touchdown of the night.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. Tony Pollard pulling a Shep and walking the dog twice on Sunday Night Football.
I'm lost. What does that mean?
Shep used to be a dog walker.
Well, I knew that. What does walk the dog mean? Like, he's just walked in for a touchdown?
I've heard him say it before.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a reference. Yeah, like a leisurely stroll into the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, you're just out there wandering around, nobody's bothering you, you get all the space you need.
Like, he said it right away. I guess that was one of the touchdowns where he literally just walked untouched.
Yeah, nobody's around you in the screen.
Hand off Pollard, walk dog. Dog, dog.
Love Brad Sham. Tony Pollard, 2 touchdowns, but the Cowboys led last night by their defense. and special teams, three takeaways, including a pick six. Daniel Jones was sacked 7 times. They blocked the field goal for a touchdown, all while pitching a shutout in Jersey. The 40-zip final is the largest shutout win in Cowboy history. It's also Mike McCarthy's first week one win for Dallas.
I'll take it. You know, I mean, I never focused on that. I mean, it's important to get that first win, so it was good to get, I guess, my first opening win.
But McCarthy has had no problem beating the Giants. This is now 5 consecutive wins in the head-to-head. It was the 100th meeting ever between the Bengals and Browns, and Cleveland might not forget it anytime soon. A 24-3 embarrassment of Cincy, holding Joe Burrow to 82 passing yards, sacking him twice, hitting him 10 times.
Stuff like this happens. We've been here before. We're going to come back stronger. Going to have a good week of practice, get better this week, come back next Sunday. Hopefully get a win.
The Bengals had the ball 14 times yesterday. They punted 10. Ryan Tannehill picked off and sacked 3 times apiece. His Titans 16-15 losers in New Orleans. The Eagles held on for a 25-20 win in New England after taking a quick 16-0 lead. The Rams a 30-13 surprise in Seattle. And Baker Mayfield led the Bucs to a 2017 win in Minnesota. Don't forget, those Vikings won all 11 of their one-score games last regular season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They were frauds last year, got punked by the Giants in the playoffs. Now they begin this year as not frauds. Nobody thought they were going to be good, but the flip side of that coin. You flip a coin, you win some of those one-score games, and you won them all last year. Now you're going to start losing them.
Michigan State plays football coach Mel Tucker on unpaid leave yesterday, shortly after a USA Today story about a woman accusing Tucker of sexual misconduct. There has been an investigation for weeks, but the school only acted yesterday once things went public. Tucker does not deny that things did happen between him and Brenda Tracy, a well-known sexual assault awareness advocate, but says they were all consensual. The new AP Top 25 starts with Georgia, Michigan, and Florida State. Then Texas, thanks to Saturday night's win at Alabama. This is the Longhorns' first top five appearance since the start of the 2010 season. The Giants, 6-3 winners over the Rockies on Sunday Night Baseball. They're now a game and a half behind the Diamondbacks for the last NL wild card. The Braves are the first team this season to clinch a playoff spot. And Yankee phenom Jason Dominguez has a torn UCL in his right elbow.
How awful is this?
Yes, it's awful.
Okay, take your Yankee hatred away. Jason Dominguez is supposed to be one of the great prospects in baseball.
He's your favorite Martian.
He just came up, right, just a couple weeks ago. He's smashing home runs. He's got these home run calls from Sterling, nicknamed my favorite Martian because he's supposed to be an alien. He's so talented. And then in the middle of this amazing rookie push, he rips his ACL or his UCL.
And because he was playing well, other young Yankees were playing well, some goofy Yankee fans started to dream of some magical September run into a wild card spot.
Yeah, he's not a pitcher, so will he miss next year?
So he will, they said 9 to 10 months yesterday, Aaron Boone, but theoretically he could hit again in like 7, I read. So like that's early next season he could be their DH.
Yeah, okay. And this is what happened to Bryce Harper.
Yes.
And he only ended up missing, what was it, 5 months?
Of the offseason or of baseball play?
Well, I think Bryce waited until after the playoffs last year, so he got the surgery, let's say, November 1st, and I think he was back by almost basically opening day.
But don't forget, they were planning for All-Star break, and then all of a sudden they're like, he's not going on the 60 day, and then he was back like in the middle of May, I think. So it can be quick. It doesn't have to be as quick as Bryce Harper, though.
So if he gets it now, he'll probably be back by June.
But the Yankee
at the latest.
Yeah, but the Yankee problem is they need a DH for other people, not him.
I love how you're like, yeah, the Yankee fans thought there could be magic. Yeah, and they were getting no hit into the 11th inning yesterday.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Where else? Novak Djokovic. He's the U.S. Open champ again. A straight set win over
Daniel Medvedev,
the man who had beaten
Carlos Alcaraz
0-2 in the semifinals.
Oh my God!
No.
Yeah.
I would love to know
Alcaraz.
That really did sound like AI.
Yeah.
Can I hear that one again?
Carlos Alcaraz.
Alcaraz. Now,
I wonder if he didn't know. If he didn't work here and he was asked to say your name, I wonder how he would do it.
Amendolara.
I call you Damon. Most people.
Damon Amendolara?
It would be just like when I call up, you know, let's say my insurance company or something, and they have my name and some type of system, and then the computer tries to pronounce it. And I'm like, that's definitely not how it's pronounced, but so be it. Alcaraz.
It's okay that he doesn't know Medvedev, but Carlos Alcaraz has been in the news for more than a year now. He won Wimbledon, what, 2 months ago?
Yep.
That's one you shouldn't need to look up at this point. If you do this job, that's one of the handful of tennis names that you need to know immediately.
Again, folks, I'm certainly not here to play program director.
Carlos Alcaraz.
But one of the bits we have on the show
Daniel
is that
Medvedev.
The WTA's website has each player doing the pronunciation
yes.
of their own last name. And you play this constantly.
Yes, and the ATP, the men's tour, has the same thing. And I did check Medvedev. And there is he says it with his Russian accent. And there is like an extra like, yeah, in the middle. But no one's asking for that. Like, no one needs that. We can't say it, part of it.
The Alcaraz one.
Is just way off.
Alcaraz?
Yeah.
Carlos Alcaraz.
Reboot.
That would make the most sense.
Right.
If Jack actually is AI.
Yeah.
If he's just a created sports broadcaster.
Next person to see him's got to like poke him or something, see if he's real.
That makes the most sense, actually.
Do more than poke him. Maybe one of these.
Let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Well, we have had some fun with these folks in the past, but apparently it does work out sometimes. Erland Bohr of Norway was told by his doctor he needed some exercise, he needed a hobby, so he chose to buy a metal detector to scan the beaches Ooh. Near his Norwegian home, and apparently, on his very first excursion, jackpot. Erland didn't find much on the actual beach, but before going home, he thought he'd give him a shot at a nearby hill, and within minutes, he was getting hits on his machine, and he dug up 9 pendants, 3 gold this, 8 gold that, Ooh. Things that date back 1,500 years.
Wow.
Pieces that hadn't been seen from that time period wow. in that part of the world ever before. So, monetarily, not a huge haul, but historically, and for learning about Norway 1,500 years ago, it's being called the haul, the find of the century.
It's got to be worth some good money, too, even if it's just historical artifacts.
Yeah, but I don't know that like he's going to like sell it or anything like that, but it's like it's substantial for the history of the area.
Wow, imagine finding something that was from 500 A.D. or 600 yeah. A.D. Wow.
Yep, he gave it to a museum, so it's just...
And he said that they were all barely 5 yeah. inches below the ground.
Yep.
So, I mean, you would think that over 1,500 years, dirt and sediment and stuff would stack up, stack up, stack up. They would get pushed all the way down. That's just 5 inches. What is that?
Or was it 2 feet underground, and that's all that's left after erosion of the hill?
Oh.
Maybe.
Maybe. Wow. That's some good luck. As a wise man that I know might say, find as keepers, lose as weepers.
Mm-hmm.
That's this guy. What's his name? Nathan DeBoer?
Erland Bohr, I think.
Hey, Erland Bohr, find as keepers, lose as weepers.
So, I found these pendants from 500 AD Norway. Give you a taste.
Give you a taste. Pendant for you, Tuts.
Buy yourself something nice.
I like how hot this coffee is. Do something nice with this 562 AD pendant that I found from this Norwegian city. So, speaking of wellness check on Mraz right now, he joins us on the phone. Mraz, how do you feel?
I mean, I've had a phone conversation with Jack Stern and a colonoscopy this year, and last night was by far the worst experience of my year.
Welcome back to the show, by the way.
Ranks one on that list. It's a tough list to crack, too. Why did you say at 26-0 the Giants are going to come back to win this game to us via text?
I really had a feeling that they were going to have a miracle at the Meadowlands.
Turned out it was gas again.
Yeah. No, it was a wrong feeling. It was a wrong feeling. Yeah,
friction up, 40-0 down.
Well, what gave you that feeling?
Because the way the game happened last night, it was like not a real, like actual like team blowout. It was like an implosion, like a blocked field goal. The flukiest pick six was Saquon to catch it. It was like Dallas didn't do anything. It just kept getting bounces, and then they clearly did enough by the end. But I thought at halftime, enough bounces would go our way.
Did you change your outlook for the season after last night?
No. But that could change real quickly at 7 o'clock Eastern time if they lose to Josh Dobbs on Sunday. But no, I did. I know everybody's jumping off the ship. Now, I never picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I still think they could win 10 games. But this is definitely a bag over the head kind of day. And I am not looking – I'm actually going in disguise to work today because I've already started to get recognized a little bit, and I don't want to be seen today.
What's the disguise?
I am going – I don't care how hot it is today, full hood up. A mustache, like I already have a mustache. I'm going a little darker. I'm actually going to go up the block a little bit to get the Just for Men like I did that time, and sunglasses.
What do you mean you're starting to get recognized? Where? Outside our building?
Or like on the train, walking through the city, and it's usually met with a middle finger, and I've adopted the new nickname, More Trash.
And you think putting on a fake mustache and sunglasses is going to make you blend in?
Well, I just think people, if somebody is going to say something to me today, because a lot of people want to say something to me today, I don't have to get noticed. I'm just going to duck in and out to work today and deal with it. And I'm not going to, you know, today's going to be a day I meet the podium and that's it.
Is this a fake mustache or you're coloring your own
mustache? No, I'm going to go the color one because only the DA show listeners know what I look like with a dark beard.
Aren't you on TV, though?
Yeah, so what?
So you don't think you'll look weird suddenly with a dark mustache?
Do I think I'll look weird? Somebody this weekend said I look like a Boston baked bean. I can't look any worse on TV. I don't care anymore.
So the TV viewers have seen you bald and with blonde hair or whatever for a couple months, and suddenly you're going to wake up on a Monday and have a dark Tom Selleck mustache.
And no one's going to notice or see the rest of you go, that can't be Sean. Sean doesn't have a mustache. Let's leave that guy alone. Let him nap.
I'm out of ideas. Much like the Giants offensive line last night, I just want to be unrecognizable.
Did you stay up for the entire show or the entire game?
Stay up for the entire game. Not only did I stay up for the entire game, because I'm not working mornings, we watched at Bob's Bar. I was the one forced to clean up Bob's Bar as everybody else went to bed.
How's Bob doing?
I didn't go to bed until 1:30 in the morning, and then I sat there and watched a little post-game stuff, and frankly, I hated my life last night. Yes, I did.
How's Bob doing?
Oh, Bob has him at 16-1.
One adjustment.
You need a good punch in the mouth, he said last night, and it'll be just fine.
Yes. They needed a good punch in the mouth. They needed one good 40-0 around at home, and now they are set.
Now they won't lose again.
He's already conjured the 2007 season where the Giants lost by a combined 80 points the first two games. He said it happened then.
Amazing.
It's ugly. It's ugly out there in the streets, guys.
Spin back to your first question, D.A. Why did you think at 26-0 there'd be a comeback? It's because his dad thinks we're never going to lose again now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think 10-7. But yeah, my dad, 16-1, says, look, the Cowboys will get their comeuppance in the playoffs. That's
so
what he told me.
Did he think they were going to be 17-0, or did he just adjust the one loss to last night?
You know, I had not gotten an accurate win-loss record for something in Philadelphia. 3-0 last night.
He thought they were going to lose to the Niners in 3 weeks, but now that's a win because of this one last night.
Yeah, and honestly, last night at Bob's Bar, I thought that nothing was going to top knockout Neil sleeping behind the above ground pool, but last night was the most discouraged Bob's Bar has been.
Did you at least get that broom out that the Rangers were going to sweep the Devils with and clean it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that broom's been out there. I had a couple people on Twitter telling me where my broom is and asked me to shove it, you know where. That was good. People have been real friendly.
right. Good luck with your mustache today.
Thank you, guys. It's you all. Take care.
Let us know how it works. Yeah. If they leave you alone on a train today, still bald and chubby, but the mustache can't be Sean.
Man, you look just like that guy on WFAN, but you have a dark mustache. It's almost identical besides the mustache. Has anyone ever told you you look just like Sean Morash?
Or a Boston baked bean?
When we come back on the show, Colorado, the biggest story in college football, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Being Alive Day, the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Dion has dominated September. He has just swallowed up college football as a whole. Colorado beats TCU in week number one, which was a ranked team. Now they're ranked, and they beat up on Nebraska. They're rivals for many, many years, and there's a lot of hatred between the two schools, primarily hatred Colorado towards Nebraska because Nebraska had been bullies for so many years. And now Colorado's interesting enough that game day is going to Boulder this Saturday for Colorado versus Colorado State. Dion is so interesting, he has put Colorado State on game day. Pretty amazing. And look, this is the beginning. As long as Dion wants to be there, this is the beginning of them being one of the most talked about programs of the country. I mean, Wu-Tang Clan was on the sideline on Saturday. Do you think Wu-Tang Clan had ever watched a Colorado Buffalo football game? I mean, ever. Like, maybe back in the late 80s, early 90s when they were good, but certainly not for 20 to 25 years, and they were on the sideline of a Colorado game. It's bonkers what is happening. And no matter what big wind like Texas have or whatever, Dion's won the month because all eyes, you can't take them off Colorado, and you can't stop talking about how high this can go, how good this can be, and what's next for the Buffs. It is an extraordinary sports story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.